ridiculous, but to give you an idea, that in 1935, a fellow on the floor of the state legislature, when they were trying to get the sales tax passed to give some money to the counties for public assistance, said he was opposed to it because King County had 30% of the population and were 90% of the problem. Mm-hmm. In other words, people flocked to the cities because that's where the soup kitchens were and so forth. Yeah. But the net result of it was that the reason I brought that up, you see how the thinking was, everything was local. Yeah. There was no need established yet in any large degree for programs that would be the same in all 3,300 counties in the United States, which we have today as far as social programs are concerned.
Yeah. Now, in this soup kitchen thing, $400, that's a lot of soup at 25 cents a ticket. But who administered the program? I mean, how did you get your ticket?
Well, the tickets were printed, and on a request basis, people would go to the city clerk, and she would do the best job of screening she could, and that's how they got them.
Okay, so it was a judgmental thing.
It was a judgmental thing with the person that one person in those days working in City Hall. And it was just something they did along with their every day's work.
Could you get tickets for your whole family? In other words, if you had a family of four.
There was other types of programs too. You see, at that time, Scott, I'm glad you brought this up, because when this was going on, the Red Cross flour program, which was the distribution of flour and other very basic necessities, was done on a countywide basis and a decentralized county basis by volunteer people. Mm-hmm. And so the family need and people that were coming through that had a tent and were camping and so forth, there was a place down, it's now a part of Camel's Resort. A fellow named Charlie Clark had actually had the flour there and dispersed the stuff. And it wasn't long after that until the counties developed in the larger counties, developed surplus commodity stores. And not only surplus commodities were bought by the federal government. This program started in 1932, 33. The federal government would buy surplus agricultural commodities and ship them around to the states and decentralize to the counties and to the cities for the purpose of distribution. So that was the supplemental program, but basically the soup ticket program was for the individual. Mm-hmm. The what we used to call the fruit tramp and the bundle stiff.
Yeah, okay. Now, you mentioned earlier in the program that when you ran for county commissioner, your primary goal was to develop a Knapp's Hill. I assume you mean the tunnel there. And that, too, would have had a great deal of interest, I'm sure, for agricultural people, because roadways have always been important to them.
Well, you see, the Knapp's Tunnel was the steepest piece of highway from the Mexican border to the Canadian border. The top steepest part of that grade was 14.6, and the maximum standard today for a hill on a highway is 6%. So you can imagine what it was like, and it was actually a bottleneck for all of Okanagan County and all of the state and the people traveling through the country. It was a bottleneck, especially coming up, because of being able to get any size of a load up the hill.
Give me an idea. I have always said I was going to go follow the old Knapp's Hill road route, and I never have done it. I'm sure an awful lot of people haven't. We know where the tunnel is now, but at what point up there in those hills did the road go over the top?
You came along the riverbank on a practically a very narrow so-called double road. There was places for turnouts, and as you came over the railroad track, you went about 150 yards and made a right turn and headed up the canyon, and you went maybe 250, 300 yards, and you made a U left turn and started back up the other side of the canyon. And then you come to another U-turn, which is about 55 feet lower than this end of the tunnel, or 60 feet lower. So then you made another very sharp turn and went up to where you would come to the road level now, which would be the top of the hill. But the real economic problem was that you just could not use trucks for heavy traffic, period. But before we leave this public assistance thing, just to give people an idea of what it was really like in those days, after I'd been a county commissioner about 2 weeks, the legislature had appropriated $20 million for the entire state to be given to the county commissioners to help them supplement their county warrant program. And in other words, you could put a little cash with a warrant to make your funds go a little farther. I went over to Olympia, and the old Capitol building that's downtown was the location of the State Department of Public Welfare. There were, on the third floor of that old Capitol building, there were seven people working, dividing this money between all of the county commissioners that came after it from the 39 counties for the state of Washington. So the welfare department in Chelan County, when I became a county commissioner in 1935, had 9 employees. And when I left in 1941, we had 17 employees. And in those 6 years, we went from a program of all categories of public assistance being one and same, voucher relief, to where we had old age pensions, where we had aid-dependent children, where we had all of the other categories of public assistance we have today, the basic programs.
Yeah.
We had money coming down from the federal government to the states. And just to give you an idea without getting into any more detail, the state budget in 1933 was $20 million. In 1935 session, for 2 year period, was $40 million. And in 1937, the budget was $80 million. And in 1941, the budget was $168 million. But during this period of time, the increases all reflected the participation of the federal government and the state. And in 1941, the responsibility for the public assistance program became a state responsibility, not a county responsibility. And the counties were expected to put in 4 and a fraction mills of their assessed valuation into the program for public assistance. So it became a state program. And I would venture to say today you probably have 75, 80 people working in the county welfare office.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good point. There was some astronomical growth in government in those days. About Knapp's Hill, though, you say you went into that was one of your primary goals, to get the Knapp's Hill Tunnel put in. Who came up with the insane idea that you could drill a hole through that kind of rock and do it economically and get the job done? I mean, there must have been people who said, that's going to be really hard to do.
Well, there were engineers, including the district engineer in our district, that thought it was absolutely stupid to try to think about it because of two reasons. The cost and lack of program to pay the cost. Now you see, in those days, the county commissioner was allowed to assess the property for purposes of highways 10 mills of the assessed property valuation of the county was the basic road fund. The gasoline tax that came down in those days was minimal. because of the percentage of distribution was very small to the counties, and the state highway system was in its infancy. In other words, there was the state highway department, with, believe it or not, consisted of mileage-wise quite a lot of road, but on the basis of meeting the standard that had been set by the highway department and the federal government for these roads, I would say that 95% of it was under standard in 1935. Mm-hmm. So the big push was to get roads from point to point. So the cash money that was starting to come down and the project money on a 50-50 basis with the federal government, as far as highway funds strictly were concerned, was pretty much limited to state highway construction. The county roads, they had to rely pretty much on their 10 mills and on bonds, so bonded revenue. Now, to give you an example, Chelan County bonded for $300,000. Just listen to this closely. $300,000, and that built the first Wenatchee, the first steel Wenatchee Bridge across the Wenatchee River that we now go over every day we go to Wenatchee.
When would this have been, though?
Back in the early 20s.
Okay.
And it paved the road to Cashmere. And it finished the road to the top of Blewett Pass.
That one $300,000?
$300,000 did that. To give you an idea, the first state money that was put on the road from Wenatchee to Chelan, Harris, the fellow that Arden Harris, or Meredith Harris's grandfather, took the contract to build the first road, county road, from Wenatchee to Chelan, and this was before World War One, for $15,000, and he gave him $1,800 back because he didn't need it. All right, now getting down to Knapp's Tunnel. The big problem, the need for Knapp's Tunnel had been well established. There was no problems of that. And it took the Depression to bring it about, because it was one of the first major projects in this part of the state that was financed from various types of programs that were financed by the federal government to create employment and to help develop a strong transportation system. For instance, the Congress appropriated a large sum of money to eliminate gray road separations. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, I came along at the right time with the right program. And the net result of it was that we put several programs together, and I'll tell you what they were. Number one was the grade separation money. Chelan County's share of the grade separation money was $47,000. There's a provision in the law that the grade separation money could not be spent by the counties or by the state unless it was approved by the railroad company. Okanagan County's share of the grade separation money was $16,000. Now, to show you how the need for the tunnel was recognized as far as the areas are concerned, the railroad companies immediately started to protest our spending of the money for Knapp's Tunnel. And the reason was because trucks would be able to carry bigger loads, and the railroads would be able to not be able to maintain the tonnage that they had at that time. And another thing, for instance, of the $47,000 that was Chelan County's share of the grade separation money, $30,000 of that was set aside originally by the county commissioners before in the planning program for the elimination of the problem at Cashmere. Because the highway came down the main street of Cashmere, which they wanted to eliminate. You had to go over the railroad tracks, go up past the sawmill and back mm-hmm. on again. And we had eight or nine times we would cross the railroad tracks between Knapp's Hill and Wenatchee. So Immediately, we got $47,000 because the Cashmere people couldn't decide on where they wanted the state highway to go, over where it is now on the opposite side of the river from the town, or whether they wanted to come along the hillside going across the Monitor Bridge and up Blewett Pass on that side of the river. So while they were arguing about that, we put the money on Knapp's Hill. I went to Okanagan County, and the county commissioners agreed. They said, well, if you can get a sign up of the substantial people in our community to help us, we'll give you our money to put into the pot to help finance Knapp's Tunnel. So all of the fruit companies, and when the fruit companies got involved, the railroad company began to back away because there was a lot of supplies, like the hauling of apple boxes and things that had to be done by trucks that could not be done by railroad, that they began to back away on Knapp's Tunnel. So out of that then came an emergency appropriation for the alleviation of grade standards. Illegal grade standards. In other words, a while ago I said 6% grade was the maximum that the state highway could have. In 1917, the legislature established the main state highway. In those days, the big push was on water level grades, which it still is to some degree with our piece of a road that hasn't yet been finished down here. But in 1917, the legislature established the state highway on the opposite side of the river. So in lieu of construction, they had a provision that where county roads were going to someday be a part of the state system, or where the state system had not been built, the states could enter into agreements with the counties and do construction and maintain the highways. So the road between Wenatchee and Chelan, which was a county road legally, was being maintained by the state. So the state funds coming down to provide for the standard of the road to be 6%, the grade level to be 6%, put this project in very high priority because it was 14.6 grade. That provided about $67,000. And then the legislature, the federal government, appropriated in 1935 a secondary highway system money. This was to provide feeder roads working with the mine to market, the farm to market road system, to develop roads other than the main state highways, which were highly traveled and too expensive to construct to the proper standards and maintained by the counties. So we got the legislature to Road and Bridge Committee to pass a resolution saying that they established the secondary highway system. They would move the state highway back from the Douglas County side of the river to the Chelan County side of the river, which made our project eligible for part of the state's $800,000 statewide appropriation. So the net result was that in the meantime, the road to Manson was one of the roads that would qualify for a state secondary system. We had agreed among the county commissioners that we would spend about $80,000 rebuilding the road to Manson. See, that road at that time was half paved and half not paved. And the reason for the paving was to have a smoother road to bring the apples down to the warehouse and to be shipped, because there's a lot of damage, rough riding, transportation of apples to the railroad.
So the half that was paved was
the... So the half was paved, we were going to have to cover with oil.
Yeah.
And we had to do some realignment. We had to knock off a lot of Rocky Point and about an $80,000 project, which today is nothing, but in those days was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we allocated the $80,000 that we would get from the second, that that the state would get for the Manson Road, we put the county money into Knapp's Tunnel, and then we paid for the engineering, which cost $8,700. We did all the engineering costs, and we had state engineers working in the county engineer's office under the supervision of the district engineer to develop the plans and specs and so forth for letting the contract. We let the first contract, and the bids were all too high. We had about $250,000 to put together for the project. We called for another immediate bid, and a fellow came in with a bid that was $24,700 lower than anybody else. And you talked about drilling the tunnel, and his method of drilling the tunnel is how he bid the project that low. And at the bid letting, everybody over in Olympia, the contractors all come around and were kidding him about his low bid and said if he ever needed a job, come see him, and when he went broke, was so forth. Well, how he did this, the plan, normal way, would have been to blast the hole through at about 10-inch diameter and use small gondolas, little railroad cars, to pull the muck out, and just like you would go through a mine. He conceived the idea of going through with a 10-foot bore and then cutting the boom down on a shovel and backing the trucks in and loading the trucks as they widened the bore to the 28 feet width and height, 24 foot height, to make the total bore.
So that eliminated
the cost of moving it out with the trucks was so much more economical and faster and better. That's where he saved the money, and he had a very profitable project. Yeah. Now we had a production credit, a PCA grant also.
From them of everything that needs to be done in the public works standards this year. I haven't received that yet, but we'll